The next thing I'd like to talk about is the Blue Lake Dam, because it is a factor that has, as you're saying, fundamentally changed our economy. But John Stein, what are you going to say?
So Blue Lake Dam, yes. So yes. At the time, I was in on the early planning for Blue Lake, and at the time we were at $100 or $140 oil. And the community was bleeding money into the oil companies by importing all the energy. And we were at a capacity with the existing facilities at Blue Lake. And so the increasing the efficiency by raising the dam made sense, and adding more efficient turbines and higher capacity to increase the capacity by 30%, I believe, just made a lot of sense in, 2007 and 8 and that kind of thing. And that's when the planning for this started. So by the time we got to the point of borrowing the money, hiring the contractors, and getting the project going, oil had dropped precipitously. And hence, competition for energy has now reversed and gone back to the oil companies. So I think when people look at the Blue Lake Dam and question the wisdom of it going in, you've got to look at the long term. I mean, this is a 50 or 100-year facility that's going to serve the community for a long time. It's going to provide energy to the fish processors and all of the, energy consumers in town. And I would think that there should be a move to encourage electric energy consumption, even though it might be incrementally a little more expensive. And I was running some numbers the other day. I had a standard, whatever it was, 75-80% oil burner efficiency plant in my house, and which has since been replaced. But I had the service cost, and it was $750 to service this boiler. And even if you pay more for electricity, you don't have the kind of maintenance costs that you do with oil. You don't create the smoke, the soot, the thing in the garage that makes weird noises and that kind of thing. My solution is to give everybody in town one of those little plug-in electric heaters. Plug that puppy in, no extra circuits, turn it on, and you don't have to look at oil.
Well, the city
down the line
is going on this kind of campaign with super users, as we were talking about earlier. But it's I asked Utility Director Brian Bertacci what has our usage done over the past 5 years, and the year they approved the dam, it was at 114 kilowatt hours. 114 million kilowatt hours for the whole community. And then the year after they approved that dam project, it just started to go down. And now it's at 104 million kilowatt hours. And that's just the reality of the situation. We have a call on line one. This is Scotty. Scotty, you're on Raven Radio talking to some folks who were deliberating Proposition 1. How are you?
So I'm doing good.
So go ahead with your comment or question.
First, I want to thank everybody for being there, and I've lived in town since we had one harbor master, and city staff in their effort to pay for a new dam by giving away air-to-air heat pumps was flawed and proved no vote was a mistake. And hearing about the new turbine corrosion on the dam reminds me of the city's incinerator. And learning about the incinerator was the last one that company made, and we had no warranties. I hear Doc Connolly, but Mrs. Parmalee has my focus, and I just thank you guys for being there. Hope you can hear me.
Thank you, Scotty. I think, were you able to hear Scotty a little bit? Okay, yeah, Gary Paxton, did you want to comment?
No, but I think the Blue Lake Dam was the right thing to do. I don't think they had an option other than to pursue it. Listen, I don't know how we get from here to the next 5 and 10 years, but I just don't know how we do that. But I think the next 5 to 10 years are the critical years to do that. And but I think it was a wise investment, and I'm praying for a cold winter.
I think a lot of people around the planet are.
Don't burn oil.
So the fact does remain, we did build the dam, and we're going to have to pay for it some way. And I want to play a bit of tape from Senator Stedman. So way back in 2012, Ed Ronco interviewed Senator Stedman, and he was tracking on the Blue Lake Dam project too. And everyone was saying, you know, this is going to be great for Sitka. And in the long term, it very likely will. Back then, this was in 2012, people were getting charged 9 or 10 cents a kilowatt hour per month. Now it's more like 13 cents if you use 1,000 kilo. Anyway, so Ed asked the senator what he thought about all this. And I don't think I have the full audio. I don't have the full audio. But what the audio said, Senator Stedman said, was basically, if we go up to 17 cents a kilowatt hour, if we look at numbers at that level, it's lights out on Sitka's economy. That's what he said. And it gave me kind of chills when I heard it, because not that we're there right now. We're at, as I said, 13 kilowatt cents per kilowatt hour a month, but we're kind of living out the reality of paying for the dam. We decided to build it and now are dealing with the numbers to pay for us. And the backdrop of all of this, of course, is that there's just not enough revenue coming in to the electric department. And our electric rates, as far as other communities go, they're higher than Ketchikan's, which is pretty much run on a hydroelectric power like we are. But it's lower than Juneau's. You know, it's if you look at the rest of the state, it's actually not enormous. And so this is a hard question to ask, but is there an acceptable electric rate for Sitka? Is there a threshold at which you said, you know, raise it by 20% even, but or really the bigger question is, how should we pay off this dam if not raising rates? Yeah, go ahead, Robin Sherman.
Well, I guess my question, and this is information that should be available from the city, is what's our current delinquency rate? How many folks are behind on their electric bills? Are they making payments, or are they just failing to catch up? And how has that number increased or changed as our electric rates have gone up? So that's my first concern, is that if rates keep going up, more people are going to stop paying. And I know that we as a community don't want to be in the position of, you know, turning the lights and the heat out on old folks and families with kids, but somebody's going to have to pay that. And then my other question...
I do know disconnection rates are at an all-time, or at a high.
So that's my concern, is that if we keep raising rates, there are folks who aren't going to be able to pay, and then the folks who are able to pay are just going to have to pay more. And then my other question is, as rates go up, to what extent are businesses that are able to going to switch fuels and invest in more efficient equipment, which probably won't be bought in Sitka? You know, people are probably going to be buying that equipment from somewhere else. So that's not business that's staying local, and it's not sales tax that we're collecting here. And if our consumption doesn't continue to go up, but our rates do, are we going to be able to raise the money that way? Again, you know, I don't love the solution of the property tax, but I think there is more potential to solve our problem using the property tax than there is to keep raising our electric rates.
First of all, the property tax was not necessarily the forum, the mechanism for providing the money to pay the electric department. Listen, if we had enough money in the general fund to subsidize the electrical fund for a couple of years, you know, I'd say, well, let's do it. But to some degree, in the final analysis, the electrical fund has got to stand on its own. That's the law. That's how it's supposed
to be. It's true.
That's how it's supposed to be.
But it's short, $2 to $3 million next year. That's the thing. So where to get the money from?
Noted. I mean, yeah. And these are projections.
Of course.
Depending on a lot of different things. So I'm going to pray for the water, selling water. If you ever sell water, then... Well, if you want a solution, there's one for you.
It's true. But we could all in 5 years just be rolling in cash. And
but to some degree, there's two major concerns here. One is, how do we ensure that those people in our town who are incredibly valuable to us can still afford to live here? And the second one is, how do we set the table so our businesses can expand, our economy can expand, because you've got an expanding economy, to some degree, it's going to alleviate some of the problems that we have. So.
Yeah, because I think at the heart of this is what to raise where so as to impact the least people, to make people want to move to Sitka, to make businesses want to move to Sitka, but also keep it affordable for the people who are already here. But Margie Parmalee, did you want to jump in on this at all?
Well, just pretty much I agree with Paxton, but I think this whole pill would be a lot easier to swallow if we were at one millage rate instead of two at a time. And I know it's only a cap, but I know what'll happen. I mean, I've watched it too many times. And I think that there's just other things that need to happen, and then this will be a much easier pill to swallow.